If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. And right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, WWE Hall of Famer Bully Ray and I talk all about NXT from last night. NXT on the WWE Network, and especially the first hour live on USA, the first salvo fired in the Wednesday night war between NXT and AEW. We get into that war, which is going to be starting. But again, that first salvo from that show last night on NXT. Also, we talk about the landscape, and not just the landscape of pro wrestling, but the landscape of the WWE. Is Monday Night Raw still the flagship show for that company? Raw on Mondays, NXT Wednesday, live on the USA Network, and of course, SmackDown moving over the Fox. We talk about it on this edition of the Busted Open Podcast.
Mama effing mega!
Oh, man. It's going to be a fun show today.
I will say this, and since you just talked about Mauro, and I think everybody would agree that Mauro is tremendous. I love the commentating team for NXT, and I actually tweeted it out last night because we're obviously going to talk about everything NXT live on USA last night. The first salvo, if you will, to what everyone's calling the Wednesday Night Wars. But how good is that broadcast team? I mean, I love Beth Phoenix. I love Nigel McGuinness. And, of course, the glue that holds it all together, Mauro Ranallo.
Man, they had me invested. I'm a fan of them individually on personal levels. I'm a fan of what they did behind the desk. They each bring a unique aspect, a unique sound. I enjoyed the announce team last night. Mauro can be, for some, an acquired taste. Mm-hmm. But for the majority of people out there, I believe, love him, love his enthusiasm, love the unique little sayings he comes up with. I mean, to hear him say, Mamma Mia, Yim, I mean, that just popped me. You know,
yeah.
He comes up with such great stuff, and his energy is infectious. It's impossible as a viewer to sit back and not be so brought into the product just because he's telling me, not by his words, but by his energy. He's telling me I'm seeing something. There's something going on here. Like let's say I was watching NXT with my back turned to the TV, Mauro would be able to paint such a great picture for me, I wouldn't even have to look. Or he would make me want to look. That's how good Mauro is at doing his job. Like, I watch boxing matches that I'm not interested in just to hear Mauro call the match.
Wow.
Call the fight. Absolutely. He's that entertaining. Like, if JR and Joey Styles had a baby, it would be Mauro Ranallo.
Okay. You know, it makes a lot of sense. And I'm glad that you mentioned, like, a JR and a Joey Styles, because those are names that people talk about as being tremendous at their job, JR being the best of all time. And JR always reminded me of kind of a cross between a Pat Summerall and a John Madden, because he can call a match. He tells you exactly what's happening in that ring, but adds the excitement and the color to it. And I think that's exactly what Mauro Ranallo does too. Now, Mauro, like you said, is not everyone's cup of tea. Doug Mortman, who I did the show with for years here on Busted Open, he wasn't a big fan of his because he thought he was way too over the top. I don't mind that at all, Bully, because of the excitement and the passion. And he does a damn good job of calling the match. It really is a definitive contrast to what we see on Raw and SmackDown. On Raw and SmackDown, it's more like, hey, if you're not watching the match, you're not going to know exactly what's going on by listening to the commentators. And that's not a knock on them, but they're doing promotions. They're having their own infighting. They're a lot more character than they are actually broadcasters. But that is not the case, as we know, on Wednesday nights.
Dave, I'm going to make a comparison. Tell me if you agree with it or not. Morrow reminds me of Don West with all the yelling and screaming. But with Don West, I felt that it was entirely too over the top. And Don West was a commentator for TNA back in the day. With Morrow, it's entertaining over the top because he has those little sayings that he comes up with, you know, the little, you know, naming people like the, you know, the Mia Yim thing. And he's extremely knowledgeable about the sport of pro wrestling. So when he does it, it for me at least, it comes off extremely entertaining. And I never find myself going, all right, Morrow, shut up, calm down, stop yelling. And for individuals, it's going to be different. There was a small section of fans out there last night on social media who were like, ah, he's not my cup of tea. And I get it. It's not because of him as a person. It's not because of the words coming out of his mouth. It's just the constant decibel level. But I got to tell you, the best way I can say is it is infectious. He makes me want to watch. And think about this, Dave. The action that you're getting in the ring is really great on its own, right?
Yes.
Now, if you have all that energy at the announce table between Morrow, between Nigel and Beth, when all of that stuff comes together with an extremely energetic crowd, that is lightning in a bottle. And that's what they had last night.
And I think that's going to attract viewers. If you're somebody that just watched Raw or SmackDown and never tuned into NXT, and then you tuned into what we saw last night, you know what? Seeing that crowd hot and on their feet, screaming and yelling and clapping and buying into the action in a ring. Let's face it, Bully, sometimes that doesn't happen on Raw and SmackDown all the time. We see a lot of people sitting on their hands. We talk about it all the time. Hey, that crowd was dead. One thing we know about Full Sail, that crowd is never dead, no matter what's going on in the ring. And then the commentating, telling a story, and like you said, the infections, you know, the passion that's going to make you buy in more to what's actually going on in the ring. Because Morrow does a great job of making you feel like every move means something. And at the end of the day, that's what a broadcaster is supposed to do.
You just talked about the crowds, and we've been talking about competition over the past couple of weeks and whether or not AEW versus NXT on Wednesday nights will be competition. Will it be war? How about this, Dave? I think it's going to be competition when it comes to the product and the rating. I think it's going to be a war when it comes to the fans.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've already seen a bit of it on social media with people taking sides. But if you look at the NXT crowd last night at Full Sail, they were extremely energetic, as they always are. Very lively, completely into the product. NXT chants all night long. They are as much a part of the show as the show itself. I found myself with a huge smile on my face, and this was a genuine smile when the show started, and I heard the NXT chants, and I saw Morrow standing there all by himself because it was so reminiscent of the ECW show opening with Joey Styles in the ring. And we spoke about that yesterday.
Yep.
And we almost got the exact same scene. Why? Because it works. Because you get to feel the energy in the room. Now, how do I think this is going to be competition amongst fans? I think that AEW crowd in 2 weeks is going to go out of their way to make sure they top what's been going on with the NXT crowd over the past couple of weeks. I kind of equate it to a rock and roll concert. How many times, Dave, have we been to a Kiss concert or an Iron Maiden concert where the lead singer will kind of split the arena in half and then see if the left side is louder or the right side is louder?
Oh,
right?
Yep, they do it.
And dude, I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it because it's so much fun. I think that's what we're going to get on Wednesday nights. I think if you're a casual viewer flipping back and forth, or even if you're a diehard fan, you're going to be going back and forth between these stations, and it's going to be like, oh my God, the crowd is loud over here on this station. The crowd is even louder on this station. What the hell is going on? NXT and AEW are going to create this new whirlwind in the wrestling business just because of the enthusiasm of the crowd.
I completely agree. And Bully, I think you're going to get that. And that's going to be so special about Wednesday nights, because you're never really going to get that with a Raw or SmackDown. And it's not a knock on those shows, but the fan base is so different. They're not the diehards. They're not the hardcore. AEW and NXT, those are the diehard, hardcore wrestling fans. With Raw and SmackDown, you know, that's more of the mainstream. That's more of, in music terms, more of the pop audience. So at times, they're going to sit on their hands. At times, they're going to be sitting on their ass, you know, and not really understand the importance of the enthusiasm that brings from a crowd, especially when you're watching it on TV. You're so right. You are going to get that on Wednesday nights, and they're going to try to outdo each other. They're going to almost have that contest, like you said, at a Raw concert, where which side is the loudest? It's going to be which show is going to be the loudest.
And I don't know if you saw this on the WWE Network after NXT was over. Triple H went out there and he addressed the fans, and he made it a point of pointing at every single fan there and saying that you are so important to the success of this company. You've been here from day one. We took this next step together, and we're going to continue taking this step. He was very inclusive with the NXT fan base. Do you know why?
Why?
It's because Cody and the Bucks have been ultra inclusive of the AEW fan base. Let's face it, Cody and the Bucks have basically been like the Pied Pipers of AEW. They are marching their fan base to victory. Hunter is doing the same thing with the NXT crowd.
Smart.
This is very, very interesting because, Dave, I know I always go back to it, it's all ECW psychology. Paul Heyman, Tommy Dreamer, everybody has gone on record to say one of the most important parts, if not the most important part, of ECW's success was the fan base and the live crowd. Correct, Dave?
Yeah. I mean, you knew when you went to an ECW show, you got the FWCW, FWWF. I mean, those were the chants you were getting outside the arena. And then once you got inside that arena in Philadelphia, especially, it was all about ECW.
Exactly. So we're seeing the exact same thing with NXT and AEW. We're seeing two brands bring their fan bases closer to them and basically riling up their fan bases and saying, listen, it's us versus them. They're not going to come out and say it's us versus them, but they will pseudo brainwash in a good way, in a fun way.
Yeah.
Their fan base is enough to be the loudest, to be the most enthusiastic. Because you know, if you're going back and forth on the channels, if you see an arena, whether it's Full Sail or wherever AEW will be performing, if you hear a loud arena or you see people on their feet, it's very Pavlovian. You're going to want to stay on that channel. So I love that they are using very ECW-esque psychology, mentality, in rallying the fans of today and bringing the fans closer. Why do I like it? Because I can relate to it, and I know it works. And that's why I had that genuine smile on my face last night when the show started.
And Bully, what you're saying is definitely a fact. When we had Cody Rhodes on this show the last time, what did he say? He's not worried about the mainstream audience. He's more worried about the hardcore audience. He wants to make sure that the fans that have been with them since day one are the fans that are satisfied, and then everything else would fall in place, correct?
Yes.
And then we have the commercials that we've seen for NXT. And what have the commercials said on NXT? No BS. Oh, you know, referencing Raw and SmackDown, which is also under the WWE umbrella. So that's been their rallying cry. Yes, we're part of the WWE, but we're different and we're there for you. What did I say about the WWE bully? It's the WWE universe. Already you're saying this is a huge crowd when it comes to the WWE. It's not that small, hardcore audience. That's what AEW is presenting, and that's what NXT is presenting, and that's the right way to go. You get that small group of people that are passionate, and then you watch that army grow.
Absolutely, and that's what's going to happen. And these armies are going to grow in leaps and bounds. I watched last night as a fan because I didn't want to have my my professional hat on. I wanted to sit back and enjoy. Normally, when Raw or SmackDown is on, I take notes during the show because I want to be able to come on here and talk with the nation and know what the hell I'm talking about. Normally, I take about a page of notes. Last night, I had 3 pages of notes, Dave. I can't wait to get into the whole show with you. I don't care what we talk about today, NXT-wise. Whatever you and the nation want to talk about, I am prepared to go because they had me hooked from the second the show went on. Yesterday, we talked about, is Hunter going to start the show? Will it be good if Hunter starts the show? I thought we got just enough Hunter to start the show. That's all we needed.
And we'll
and then bang, right into the action.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
The girls definitely had rhythm last night, especially Hip Hip Lorray, as she is now the number one contender for the NXT Women's Championship held by Shayna Baszler.
Did you have an opinion on why they started off with the women?
I thought they would be the hottest match. A lot of the flips, as you like to say, you were going to get in that matchup. And it showed right away that it was unique and different than what you get from Raw and SmackDown.
That bang, good, excellent. I'm glad you're on the same page because that's one of the things they were doing with starting off with the women. First of all, the women deserve to start off because they earned the right to start off the show. They earned the right to be the Detroit Rock City of that show last night. Open up with a bang, and they did a phenomenal job. I enjoyed the energy of the match. The crowd loved it. The girls really did well. But I think it was Hunter and NXT laying down the gauntlet to the Raw and SmackDown women, but also telling the world right off the bat that our women's division is going to blow away AEW's women's division.
Wow. I mean, you're probably right, Bully. I mean, I think what Triple H did last night, and by the way, we talked about Triple H most likely starting that show. Great job by Triple H starting in the back. Almost felt like it was a taped address by Triple H, and then he walks out to that crowd, and he saw how hot that crowd was, which I thought was a great start. But with this match, yes, I think that was Triple H's way of saying, we're going to blow everybody away. We're going to blow away Monday night. We're going to blow away Friday night, and we're going to blow away the other show on Wednesday night with our women's division.
What I saw from those 4 women in the ring last night was as exciting, if not more exciting, than anything that I've seen with Sasha, Charlotte, Bayley, and Becky lately. And that's a compliment to the 4 women from last night, not a knock on the other 4. It's because these women were working up to a level. And whenever you work up to a level, it's going to bring the best out of you. So yeah, I think it was a very calculated move to put those women on first and show the world this is what our NXT women's division can do. Main roster, take a look, because these girls are gunning for everybody. And they're telling the world, okay, AEW, if we're going to be compared to you right off the bat, we're going to show you what our women's division can do. Because we've seen with wrestling in the past, three, four, 5 years, Dave, heading more into, you know, women's wrestling and putting the spotlight on the women and having the women as credible, if not more credible than the men at times, right?
Absolutely.
And that's what NXT did last night. They're telling the world our women are credible, and we're not just putting them in this spot just because they're women. We're putting them in this spot because they deserve it, and they're going to blow your women's division away.
Wow, great take, Bully. And I'll say this, too. Unlike what we get from Raw and SmackDown, to start the show with action, to start the show with a match that you could say, hey, is the main event match of the night? I mean, think about how many times have we seen a Monday Night Raw where you're not getting any action until maybe like 30 minutes into the show. Same thing with SmackDown. Usually that opening segment, you're getting a promo or some kind of verbal confrontation. I love that NXT right away saying, you know what? You know how we're going to show we're different than Monday and Tuesday nights? We're going right into a match that could probably be a main event on a pay-per-view.
There's no doubt. There is absolutely no doubt about what you just said. And the way I look at it, you know, from the business point of view, is those four women last night and the entire NXT women's division is basically looking at the main roster women and going, what you can do, we can do better in that ring. And they're looking at the AEW roster and basically putting the gun to the head of the entire women's division in AEW and going, follow that.
Yeah, and look at the talent that was in that ring and that match. I mean, Io Shirai is a star. Candice LeRae obviously getting that title shot. And Bianca Belair, there's been a lot of talk about Bianca Belair. She's phenomenal, so athletic. I mean, such a wonderful match to start that show. And speaking of other things that we talked about yesterday, Bully, they didn't do much to the look of that show. It really set the other shows apart as well. And the fact that, you know, during the match, it's pretty much dark. You don't see much of the crowd. It had that old school feel. A little bit of production, but not that much different than we usually see from NXT week in and week out.
The only thing that was a slight disconnect for me, and this, like I said, this just might be my taste buds.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was so polished. The packages that they were playing about a half an hour before the show, you know, promoting Undisputed Era. The way the show opened with Hunter basically giving us a little bit of background into what we're about to see and then pulling back the curtain and almost saying, come on, I'm going to give you a peek at what I created. And then, boom, we have, you know, we have the crowd. I always talk about treble and bass. I felt last night there was too much treble in the room and not enough bass. I almost wanted to hear that place rumbling last night. I heard a lot of high-pitched noise. I wanted to hear that rumble. Dave, remember back in the day before the babyface would blow a comeback and everybody would be stomping their feet
Yeah. And
you'd hear that rumble? That's what I was looking for last night. I didn't get that last night. I'm not saying that it's bad, but it's that rumble. It's that energy that just goes through your bones. That's the only thing that was missing for me last night.
And I could be wrong on this, Bully, but this is where AEW might have the advantage of what you're talking about. Because AEW is going to be in bigger arenas. You're going to have a lot more. You're going to have thousands of more people at these AEW shows than what we're going to get at Full Sail. So I think that crowd experience that you're talking about, that rumble, I think you're going to get that on Wednesdays from AEW.
I agree. Because of the sheer size of mm-hmm. the crowd. And maybe because in Full Sail, because it's a smaller place, you know, the audio is going to crumble off differently. Like what I'm explaining to you about the audio, Dave, do you understand? Like, were you hearing what I heard?
Yeah, I actually thought that the crowd would be a little bit louder than what I heard last night.
Not necessarily louder, just thicker.
Well, because it almost felt like, and I get this a lot from concerts. I have a lot of, you know, I love the live experience. You know, to me, a band really shows how good they are, how they can perform live. And I love, like, live records. I love when the crowd is mic'd and those. It's not so much about the music. I love hearing that crowd. So I'm wondering if that has anything doing with the way that crowd was mic'd last night.
It very well could be. It's all about the acoustics in mm-hmm. the room. Like when a band, you know, does sound check, they're checking out the acoustics in the room. And that might be it. So for NXT on the network, the acoustics in that room were probably just good enough. For USA, I think that's one of the kinks they might want to work out. I think they might want to, you know, thicken up the sound a bit. But that's a tiny, tiny thing that I'm talking about over there. The entire place was on fire last night. And one of the other things that I liked about the women's match was not one of those girls outshined any of the others. You know why? Because they're all freaking good.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny because when I spoke about it with Alex Metz this morning, he loved the performance by Candice LeRae and Io Shirai, and I really loved the performance from Bianca Belair. I'm sure as we're taking phone calls from the nation today, everyone's going to have their favorite or who they thought outshined. But you're right, it was across the board. It really was.
When it comes to personality, I have to give the edge. When it comes to personality, look, it factor, and that WWE-esque persona, it's Bianca Belair. Like, I can guarantee you, when Vince eventually sees Bianca Belair, like, really invest some time, he's going to be like, damn, I might want her up on the main roster. Because she fits the main roster. I don't want to see, side note, I don't want to see any of these people go to the main roster. None of them. None of them. As a matter of fact, one of the notes I wrote down was about Killian Dain. I know we just went from Bianca Belair to Killian Dain, but here's my point. Killian Dain was as dead in the water as you could be on the main roster, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Killian Dain was like the third guy in a faction with Eric Young, and you didn't even know who Eric Young was. Eric Young's claim to fame on the main roster was he got whacked in the back with a steel chair by his friend Seth Rollins.
It never came off. That faction never got off the ground.
And Eric Young was the leader of the faction. So Killian Dain was basically, brother was like so far in quicksand it wasn't funny. Well, they put him back in NXT, and look at what happened last night. Killian Dain, last segment of the night, him and Riddle, all-out brawl, craziness exudes. I think they went off the air with Killian doing a dive to the floor. Chaos. Killian Dain in NXT is a star, isn't he?
Yeah, no, he is. And they're presenting him like a star, and they're showcasing him, and that's something that they were not able to do on, like, the quote-unquote main roster.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
That's right. Undisputed Era dominating NXT right now, Bully.
Let me ask you this, Dave. You heard the pop at the end of the match. Obviously, people super excited for the title change. Do you think the people were excited and popping for Roderick Strong becoming the new champion? Or do you think the people were popping because Undisputed Era is very slowly becoming NXT's version of the Four Horsemen?
I think it's the latter. I think it's all about the Undisputed Era.
Yeah.
And you know,
I think so also. And watching the commercials leading up to NXT on USA, it really is about the Undisputed Era. And I think that's what people are excited about. I'm not taking anything away from Roderick. I'm really not. I'm just saying this is more of a big picture type thing for what these four guys mean to NXT, especially Adam Cole.
I totally agree. And go back and watch the end of that matchup. You know what the gauge is, Bully? Izzy and her family. Watch Izzy's mom and Izzy's dad. They jumped up and started cheering as soon as the Undisputed Era came out. And they were cheering so loud for Adam Cole and that Undisputed Era. And I think that's very, very telling. Because now you're talking about Izzy, who's 12. and a family that are, you know, in their 30s, that's a pretty good gauge. So, you know, who are they behind right now? It's Adam Cole and the Undisputed Era. And I do say that, Adam Cole and the Undisputed Era.
That's like saying Gene Simmons and Kiss. You're really putting him out in front of the whole act.
Ric Flair and the Four Horsemen.
But it wasn't Ric Flair and the Four Horsemen. It was the Four Horsemen.
True.
Despite the fact that Ric Flair was the standout guy. And I think that's what we're going to get with the Undisputed Era. I believe that Adam Cole will be the Ric Flair of the Undisputed Era.
I totally agree.
I'm telling you, man, he is the guy. And the only reason why a guy like Adam Cole might not be able to survive on the main roster is just because of the stature. And in Vince McMahon's eyes, stature has always been everything.
You know what, though, Bully? We talk about the landscape changing in pro wrestling. Well, the landscape is completely changed in the WWE. Because can you say the main roster anymore? Like, when in regards to NXT and then Raw and SmackDown, can you really say the main roster? Because now NXT is on USA live for 2 hours. So I'm interested to see if kind of that whole quote-unquote main roster is now getting completely thrown out the window. Because, Bully, I'll go back to something that you said earlier, which I think is extremely significant. He talked about Killian Dane. And about, man, when he was on SmackDown, they were completely lost. And now look at him on NXT. Can you really call it a main roster when there is actually going to be main roster wrestlers that want to move over to NXT? I think probably people are like, man, this whole dynamic with Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn, like all these writers and everybody in your face and telling you what you're going to say. But, man, I can have the same kind of outlet being live on USA and I'm with Triple H, where he gives me the freedom and the creativity. It's going to be interesting how this is moving forward.
Saying main roster is just out of habit. As time goes on, I'm sure we will differentiate between the three brands because that's what it really is. Now that NXT is on USA, it is very much main roster, because after the show I saw last night, I can see, just like you said just now, and as I said at the beginning of the show, I can see talent from the main roster who are not being utilized appropriately wanting to go over to NXT. And I think it's a great move because now those people don't allow rust to set in, which can happen. They're being used. They're invested in what they're doing. Plus, it's going to beefen up the NXT product that's going to be going head-to-head with AEW. I fully expect to see some of those stars who flourished in NXT, who moved up to Raw or SmackDown, come back down every once in a while. And we'll see them come back down depending on what the ratings are. The great thing about this whole situation is every week there will be, you know, a rating. We'll basically say how they did last week. And if the WWE wants to pull pieces from their two other shows to NXT, they can do it. It's great chess positioning. The idea is to win. What's the object of a match? To win the game. What's the object of a baseball game? Win the game. Everything is to win, and you do whatever it takes to win. The WWE has an incredible pool of talent to choose from. That's why they sign anybody and everybody they can get their hands on, just for situations like this, just so they can have tons of programming, just so whenever they need somebody, that person is there. A Killian Dane can become as important in 1 week as a John Cena, because 1 week we're going to need Killian Dane and not John Cena. So I want Killian Dane to be there. Let's take a guy like Buddy Murphy, right?
Mm-hmm.
3 to 4 weeks in a row, top of the food chain, right?
Yep.
That's because they needed Buddy Murphy to be in that spot at that time. Sometimes when you watch let's say you're watching The Sopranos or any other show that's episodic television, sometimes we need characters that are going to be very important for only one or two episodes. And basically, those one or two episodes revolve around that new character, and then that character gets whacked and goes away until we need him again. That's what you're going to see. And when you look at the business from 30,000 feet, that's what the WWE wants and needs. We need anybody and everybody that we can possibly get our hands onto so we can put them in positions when we see fit. You might not agree with it as fans, but that's the nature of the business.
Well, good stuff, Bully. Let's go back out to the Busted Open Nation. Let's go out to Steve in Pennsylvania. Steve, what did you want to say about NXT last night and the battle with AEW?
All right. It was heavy effing metal last night. And I've been an NXT fan for quite some time now. It always felt like developmental territory up until probably about when Gargano and Ciampa were going at it on their last run. Then we started having conversations about who we wanted to see stay in NXT. And now we have a show where all of these guys are being primed for NXT rather than the main roster. And I really think that AEW, had they been going up against WWE product, I believe that they would be okay because I see both companies as sports entertainment. But NXT is smash mouth, man, and I think that AEW is going to be calling a lot of audibles when they're sitting down in the boardrooms on the week trying to figure out exactly how they're going to go show for show. And about the fans real quick, I think that anything that meets expectations doesn't get a pop anymore. I think everything that exceeds expectations does. And it's kind of like when on Monday – Dave posted something on Twitter saying, if Corbin doesn't win, we riot, but then he didn't put him on power ranking.
Well, one's got nothing to do.
Wait a second, Steve. Great job.
Steve, I
didn't even think of that tweet.
Wait a second, Steve.
Great. Steve, no matter what he says, this is the Hall of Famer telling you, great job, brother.
And this is the creator of this show that you listen to every day?
No, you're not Doug Morton. Doug Morton. Yeah.
Go ahead, Steve.
You know I love you, Dave. I gave you a hug in New York. You're a great guy. Here's the thing, though. Luke Harper and Rowan beat Roman. It wasn't just Rowan. Had it been just Rowan, I'd be all for it.
First of all, it was a no disqualification match, Steve. And second of all, think about this. Eric Rowan beat Roman Reigns. Let me repeat that. Eric Rowan beat Roman Reigns.
I'm sorry, Steve. My apologies.
I just want to know. So after Monday,
Eric Rowan Monday, beat so. Roman Reigns
with help.
Yeah, but what happened on Tuesday? Did you have an emotional attachment to Corbin as the king, or did you have an emotional attachment to Rowan?
Well, I think I'm emotionally attached to both storylines. Listen, man, this is not a knock on Baron Corbin. Everybody knows how much I love Baron Corbin. But yeah, I think you all know that the King of the Ring tournament and the King of the Ring in a lot of ways is different than what we're seeing here in the big picture. NXT debuting on USA and two amazing matches, one where somebody's coming a number one contender for a championship and the other became a champion. You have your WWE champion that's going to be facing Brock Lesnar on the debut on Fox. You have The Fiend, which is a character and personality that everyone's talking about and made the Universal Champion shit his pants.
Love your show, guys.
All right, thanks, Steve. Steve, I appreciate the phone call. And listen, Steve, it's all good because, Bully, you know what? That's what's good about a power rankings. It's like when you do a top 10 show. I have a top 10. You have a top 10. It's the same thing with the power rankings. I'm glad that people have different opinions. It's fine. I don't take it personal.
Yes, you do. You take it very personal. You can hear it in the volume of your voice. You can hear it in the tone, the inflection, the heavy breathing. You need to take a pill.
It's the fact that you haven't. You would think that you came from the Attitude Era with the attitude that you have.
I don't have an attitude.
You have an attitude, sir.
And with people like you who take things personally, You can't handle the truth. Steve brought up a great point. If Baron, you sent out a tweet. If Baron Corbin doesn't win, we riot.
Oh, wait. Oh, so wait
you,
a second.
What were you trying to do, Dave? Were you trying to be like anti-establishment and say now you're on the Corbin bandwagon?
No, I've been on the Corbin bandwagon since day one. And you're the one that every week says, oh, Dave, you do the power rankings by your heart and not your head. And then I do it for my – and then you reverse it. You reverse it.
I didn't reverse it at
you
all.
You reversed it.
I can make the argument.
You change the rules as you go along.
I would take off Eric Rowan from your list, despite the fact that beating Roman Reigns is a huge victory. He did it with help from somebody else. Baron Corbin won the finals of the King of the Ring tournament. End of story. You really have no leg to stand on.
No wonder D-Von didn't talk for 20 years because you can't get through anything you're saying because all you do is care about yourself.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156, or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Speaking of boys, let's go out to Joe in North Carolina. What's up, Joe?
I've got 18 years in the Army that say I'm a man. So
that's right, Joe. That's right, Joe. You tell her. You tell her, Joe.
You put yourself over, Joe. You tell her.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I shouldn't have sent that tweet about Baron Corbin for crying out loud. All I'm going to say is this. Last night with NXT, I was talking to other people from Busted Open Nation on the Discord server that I created out there. If anybody wants to join, they can. What I'm going to say is last night, it made me feel something I haven't
felt. Joe, what are you talking? What did you just say? What are you talking about?
So, Busted Open Nation, Discord. It's kind of like an AOL chat room type of thing. Well, I created one for Busted Open Nation that everybody can join so that this way, if they would like to talk about wrestling in every single capacity that we can, to include talking about, you know, NXT and all the stuff that we watch live, I created that for the Busted Open Nation.
All right, cool,
wants
Joe.
To join, it's on my Twitter page. You know, by all means, go ahead. We've got some great conversations there. But one thing that we had from last night,
I guess I
got
to unblock you to see what that is. But go ahead.
It's good. Trust me, Dave. It's everything is good in there. It's very, very nice. Now, one thing that we all were saying last night was we're now anticipating something coming up next week, and we're anticipating the next NXT show. It's been over 15 years since I've anticipated a Raw or a SmackDown or anything like that. And to feel that again, like I did back during the Attitude Era, that is what Raw and SmackDown has been missing. We're getting this anticipation. We're getting excited because we don't know what's coming up next, whether it be in another daggone great match or another can't miss moment. Like, you know, for crying out loud, Imperium shows up, Walter's there, and two people I would never see in the ring, I would ever think I would ever want to see. Walter and Kushida are now facing off against each other. That's something that, you know, I would never thought I would want to see, and now that it's been presented to me, my God, I am looking forward to that. When's the last time on a Monday Night Raw or a SmackDown that they have done something where we're looking forward to next week's episode to see what's happening next? It's been quite a while. In fact, it's been – I haven't done that in Raw since probably 2003, 2004. And it's nice to have that feeling again because now I'm absolutely excited. And there's other people that are absolutely excited about what's happening next. And NXT, AEW – they're catching that anticipation that we have been missing for 15 years. And I am looking forward to this damn ride like nobody else.
Joe, it's a great call. I mean, I do think there have been times that we've looked forward to Raw. I think there's been cliffhanger episodes, even lately, that make you want to tune into the next week. But I get Joe's point. But think about this, Bully. And you're talking about the landscape changing. Obviously, we know for decades that Raw has been the WWF/WWE flagship show, correct?
Yes.
All right. Now, what we're getting is something completely different. Look at SmackDown. SmackDown is moving over to Fox. There have been times that we have said, and probably more than just once or twice, but many times, even before this show even started to air in 2009, that we said that SmackDown has been the better show over Raw. But perception is reality. SmackDown's going to be on Fox, primetime TV during the week. Amazing. Now you have NXT, which is the wrestling fan show, that's going to be live on USA Cable Network in a couple weeks for 2 hours. Where does this leave Monday Night Raw? Can you really perceive Monday Night Raw as the flagship show when you have the quote-unquote wrestling show on Wednesday Night Live for 2 hours and you have SmackDown on Fox? Is Monday Night Raw taking a little bit of a backseat come October?
Monday Night Raw will continue to be the flagship show of the WWE until NXT or SmackDown outperform it and become the flagship show for the WWE. It's very simple. Raw can be defeated. Whether or not Vince McMahon allows it to be defeated, I don't know. But yes, Raw has always been the flagship. But let me give you let me tell you something, Dave. Everything has an expiration date. Everything. That expiration date could be a day, a minute, a week, a year, a month, whatever. Raw's expiration date might be coming up, and it might be expiring as the flagship of the WWE to NXT or SmackDown. If I had to guess, I would say SmackDown, because more people are going to get to view SmackDown than they are Raw, right?
100%.
I mean, it's not rocket science here. Raw has always been the flagship because the amount of time it's been on USA. Raw is as synonymous with Monday nights as Monday Night Football is.
Yep.
I mean, when you say Monday nights to me, I think wrestling. I don't think football anymore.
Well, here's the thing, Bully. What you just said is a great example of what we're talking about. You mentioned Monday Night Football. Is Monday Night Football the premier evening primetime game anymore for the NFL? It's not. It's Thursday Night Football. It's Sunday Night Football. It's not Monday Night Football. Why? Because Thursday Night Football is on network TV. Monday Night Football on ESPN. Now, is that a downgrade? You could probably say that it is. But you talked about when is it going to cease being the flagship show? You said when, you know, SmackDown or NXT beats Monday Night Raw. When you say beats, do you mean creatively? Because that's happened before. Or are you talking about the ratings? Because I would think that SmackDown on network TV is going to get a better rating than Monday Night Raw on USA.
I'm strictly talking about the ratings because creative is subjective. We could watch both shows and you could love one show and I could hate that same show. Can't go by creative. You have to go by the flagship show as far as the ratings. This is the machine. This is the locomotive that pulls all of the rest of the cars in the WWE. Is Raw the locomotive of the WWE?
Yes.
Always has been. Now, it could be SmackDown. And if you've seen any of those early print advertisements for SmackDown, they are loading that show up. Loading it up. And they should. More eyes on the product. New eyes on the product. Fox is paying a boatload of money. Fox is paying a premium. They're not going to want guys and gals that might not be seen or perceived as the biggest stars in the company on their show. I don't even want to use names here because I don't want to bury anybody. But if you're a C-list or a D-list talent in the WWE that doesn't necessarily get used all the time, you think Fox is going to want you on that show? Fox is going to want all killer and no filler for 2 hours. They're going to want identifiable personalities, faces, stars. They're going to want major star power. They're going to want a product that looks like sport and not entertainment. And they have every right to want that because they have now paid more money to Vince McMahon for his product than anybody else.
It's going to be very interesting to see what takes place here. Now, listen, SmackDown has beaten Raw in the ratings before. Have they been able to do it consistently? The answer to that is no. But I would think come October that that's going to happen on a consistent basis. And like you just said, Fox is going to demand the top talent. We're already seeing it already because we know we're going to get Brock Lesnar on the first ever episode. And I'm sure from that point on, most likely we're going to see Brock as WWE champion, correct? Most likely.
I'm going to adjust my thinking on that a tad.
Okay, go ahead.
Yesterday I said that I was almost 100% sure that Brock goes over on October the 4th. But I realized this morning that Hell in a Cell was only, 2 days later,
yes,
on Sunday.
Yep.
So does it make sense for Brock to go over on Friday and then give Kofi the rematch in the Cell? Or does it make more sense to have a non-finish on Friday and Brock go over in the Cell?
That's interesting. That's a really good call. Because those are your two choices, though. Kofi can't win on that debut episode, because then if Kofi wins, there's no reason to have a Hell in a Cell match on Sunday. So the choices are either a Brock win and a rematch on Sunday or a non-finish on Friday that makes you want to go buy the pay-per-view for Sunday.
And I think the smarter business move is to have Brock win and go to the immediate rematch, because people will pay to see if Kofi can beat him. The non-finish on the first episode of Fox, I do not think is a smart idea. Wrestling fans get pissed off with non-finishes these days. They're starting to boo the non-finish. They want clean finishes or definitive finishes. And unless the WWE can come up with a real creative way to give us a non-finish, are you going to...
That's a tough one, because what you just said is 100% true. I think a non-finish would piss a lot of people off, and do you really want to do that on a debut episode on Fox?
And I got to tell you, everybody thinks Brock is going to win. The money is on Brock. If Kofi was to win on that debut episode of SmackDown and beat Brock, and Heyman used the rematch clause immediately and they went to Hell in a Cell and Brock won in the Cell, does that really hurt Brock?
Well, first of all, they would have to change the rules a little bit, because they've already said that there's no automatic rematch clause anymore.
Okay.
They would have to kind of finagle that a little bit. But you said something else, too, that's a great question, Bully, because what you're saying is very, very, like, all these things make you want to think, because you talk about hurting Brock. And I always thought that, you know, there's no way you can hurt Brock. But one loss at WrestleMania, another loss at SummerSlam, a possible loss here, I think that could hurt Brock Lesnar, Bully.
Yeah, but the last thing that the people will remember is Brock going over in the Cell. I also think it's very important for Fox to get something huge on that first night. And I don't know what is bigger or more impactful than Brock Lesnar winning the WWE Championship on that first night and standing there on Fox television with that championship over his head. That is the moment I believe Fox is looking for. People are going to tune in to Hell in a Cell just because it's Hell in a Cell. They will also tune in to see Kofi possibly get his rematch, because if it's not Kofi, who are they going to put in front of Brock in the Cell that quickly?
They might not. If Brock wins on that debut episode, I don't think you're seeing Brock Lesnar at Hell in a Cell.
Well, then, if you don't see Brock Lesnar at Hell in a Cell, then I'm going back to my original pick. Brock wins on October 4th.
And I don't know the last time we've said this about a pay-per-view. The, you know, the quote Ralph Cramden, the pay-per-view's a mere bag of shells compared to what's going to be happening on Fox in that debut episode. Like, you know, you, usually you're like, you want to build everything up to that pay-per-view. That pay-per-view is anticlimactic compared to what's going to happen on Fox on Friday. Alex, you wanted to chime in?
Can I offer a counter to that really quick? I think I agree with what you're saying because obviously the debut on Fox is huge. They wanted to do mass monster numbers.
It may be the biggest WWE show ever since the first WrestleMania.
Exactly, because it's like what you guys were talking about earlier in the week about how a lot of what Vince McMahon has done in his career is kind of culminating to this moment on Friday, October 4th. But Hell in a Cell, not only are you getting the Fiend in a big high profile match finally, who arguably might be one of the biggest characters in the company right now, but they're now building up this Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks thing to a point where I think people are really interested. I don't know if it necessarily you could categorize it as paling into comparison to what you're going to see.
I think
SmackDown
it does,
anymore.
And by what you're saying, it's interesting, Alex, because I think that's enough for the Hell in a Cell pay per view. Becky and Sasha and The Fiend and Seth Rollins is enough. Well, you don't need that WWE Championship defended, and you don't need to see Brock. As a matter of fact, I think Brock is winning it on that debut episode, and I don't think you're seeing that WWE Championship defended at Hell in a Cell.
It would put more attention on the Universal Championship,
mm-hmm.
and it would put more attention on Sasha versus Becky. However, at the end of the day, the business is to sell a subscription and sell a pay-per-view. Do you have more of a chance of selling a subscription or a pay-per-view with Brock versus Kofi on your show or off your show?
It's obvious. It's Brock and Kofi on your show.
So, you know, it just comes down to the Brock schedule and the dollars and cents of it. Of whether or not the WWE wants to invest in that match.
And you said something else, Bully, and this is why I love you being on the show despite the attitude and the tremendous ego. You said about the way that show would end on Friday. Think about it. If Kofi Kingston retains the championship in that match with Brock Lesnar, is the nation happy? Yes. Are we happy? Absolutely. But the
not
main
me.
But all right, not you. Okay, fair enough. But you would agree probably most of the hardcore WWE fans would be happy if Kofi retained, right?
Right now, I'd say it's 60-40.
All right, 60-40. Okay.
For Kofi.
All right, 60-40 for Kofi. But you want that hook, that mainstream audience, and you want something big for that debut episode. When you were talking about that, all I pictured in my mind is Brock Lesnar holding that WWE Championship over his head and the commentator saying that this is a new era on Fox and Brock Lesnar is your new champion.
That's the moment. We're not even talking about the match. We're talking about the moment and the message that the WWE wants to get out there. The headlines that they want to capture.
Yep.
That one picture of Brock Lesnar standing there with the championship over his head, Paul Heyman by his side.
And it doesn't kill off, you know, it does maybe in a lot of people's eyes because he was your champion. It doesn't kill off Kofi Kingston because Kofi Kingston is still going to be a major player on Fox every Friday because the New Day is so big and so huge.
The New Day is an incredible safety net for Kofi Kingston. Kofi had a great run. If they ever wanted to put Kofi back in that world championship picture, they can do so at any time, and he holds all of his credibility because he did defeat Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania, because he did defeat Randy Orton, and because he did stand up to Brock Lesnar. Total credibility. But with the New Day and the New Day on Fox, it is one of the WWE's most entertaining acts. It's extremely fan-friendly. And think about all the families out there that have never seen the New Day before who will now want to purchase. If the New Day is on Fox, they need to redo the New Day from day one all over again because it's going to work.
It is definitely going to work.
It's kind of like a rock and roll band using the same costumes that they used 20 years ago or the same stage set that they used 20 years ago. What's old is new. Is the New Day old? Not really, but Fox is new. So let's give these new viewers and new eyes the version of the New Day that they've never got to see before.
And you know what? Again, I think if Brock loses, it hurts Brock Lesnar.
Thanks for listening. Catch us weekdays on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.